Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
When we talk about marriage, I don't want any of the singles to kind of tune us out, because I think there's something in here for singles. I think there's something in here for people right now that might find themselves separated. That's reality that happens to people, and we want to encourage you. I know there's some here that probably are here without your spouse, and it might just be because of today, but it might be your situation, that you come to church, that you have a stronger relationship with the Lord than your spouse does. That happens in life. So I believe there's something for you, encouragement for you and for our marriages, whether or not you're getting ready, you're engaged, you're thinking about it, you've been married a year, or you've been married. And the reason we're sharing right now is that Cheryl and I just passed on December 22nd our 40th anniversary of marriage. So, hallelujah. So I want to say with all boldness, I think we have something to say after 40 years. I really do. We're not perfect. We didn't enter into this thing perfect. We're certainly not perfect right now. But I do believe that God has, as you look back, we can see that there are certain positions that we took, attitudes in our relationship with the Lord, with each other, with the ministry, that I think if we kind of talk about them, it might be helpful to you. I want you to understand, first of all, when we came into this thing, both of us were as lost as anybody else. We didn't know the Lord, even into our young adult years, and we came to know Christ as our Savior. It was a turning point in our lives as singles, as individuals. And so we were new to our walk with the Lord, and then certainly when we came together, we were new to the whole concept of living together and being married. And at that particular time, you're not thinking, what's it going to be like 40 years from now? You're thinking this first year. You know, and you're all excited about it, and all these dreams and visions and goals and a little bit of thoughts about the future. But now that we look back, we certainly can highlight something I think will be helpful. So we want to talk to you about that. We want to do it in this kind of setting here. The reason Pastor Mike and Melissa are up here is because they are the pastors over our family, marriage and family ministry here at the church. So they've been working with our marriages and families. Their responsibilities are to oversee, to make sure, kind of identify what are some of the challenges that we have, what are some of the instructions that we need, biblical instruction, design classes that will meet those needs, raise up leadership that will help them in their classes, provide resources. So we're here to tell you, we're here to announce to you, we want this church to be a safe place for you. We want it to be a place where you can come and you can, it's a place not to hide, although we like to do that sometimes, it's not to hide, but we want you to feel comfortable enough to say, hey, listen, I need some help, I need some resources, I need someone to talk to, and we want to let you know that we're here. So by the end of our time together, we're going to point out some of those resources. And we've kind of looked at 2013, and we said, you know, we want to believe for 2013 for new marriages. We want to believe for freshness that will come upon the marriages. And so we're really believing God for this, okay? So that's kind of our setting for this. And I want to share with you, first of all, you know, you cannot convince me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. How many know God has a sense of humor? He does. He really does. And to prove it, here we are, knowing that we're going to talk about marriage today, real marriage, kind of be open. We did not script this. We certainly prayed about different things that we thought would be helpful. We got some advice from Mike and Melissa. They said, here are some of the things we're dealing with. Here are some of the questions that we have. So we made a list of those, but we didn't script anything. So it's going to be totally probably different than it was last night, and the next service will be different than this one will be. But in not scripting it and preparing for this marriage thing, something, of course, this all took place. But along with this, this wasn't difficult at all. The most difficult thing for me that has been over the last 10 days or so, and probably the most difficult and challenging thing for a man, is that your wife has to drive you around in your vehicle, in my nice SUV, because I won't get in her car for lots of reasons. We won't go into that. But you're driving, and I'm going to tell you, I'm all serious with this. This was the biggest challenge I had with this whole operation. And I get in the car, and Cheryl has to drive me to the doctor's appointment, drive me around places, and I'm just on edge. I'm just like crazy, because we're both control freaks. We both want to control. We both want to be in charge, you know, and that's the way it is. And so anyway, pray for me. The other day, we're getting ready to go out, and this is serious, and I was serious about this. So we're in the kitchen, and I'm getting all ready, getting the sling on, and as we're going out, I said, honey, let's take a moment and pray. And we're in the kitchen there, and we're going to a doctor appointment, so she's probably thinking, well, okay, maybe he's praying about this doctor's appointment or something. So we bow our heads in the kitchen, and I said, Lord, help me have the patience that I need while we drive today, while Cheryl, and I'm dead serious in this whole thing. She breaks out laughing. My brother walks in. He walks in the kitchen. He says, oh, you guys are praying. I said, no, please join us. So we had a little prayer time. I needed it, and it worked. But you have to keep praying through the whole process. All right. With that in mind, let's start out with this text. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. As I was thinking about what we want to accomplish today, we want to instill hope. We want to maybe answer some practical questions, but we want to get to the heart of the thing to say that God is good. He is powerful. He can help us. Jesus, when he's teaching in Luke chapter 5, he says these words, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better." There are a lot of things that you can get from this particular text, but Jesus is teaching, obviously, something for all of us. I think what he's saying here, and what's appropriate for today, is that if we expect something new to happen in 2013, if we expect a freshness on our marriages, if we expect something fresh on our relationship with the Lord, and something to happen on our jobs that needs to happen, and other relationships that we have, either with family or with others that we work with, if we expect it to happen, it might be that we just have to deal with some old habits, old ways of thinking. Because if you expect the new wine to come, God's Spirit to come in a new way, we're going to have the right kind of wineskins to accept the new wine. So I want you to be open to that as we begin to share. Is this something that I need to deal with? Is this something I need to be aware of so that I might need to change? Because most likely it's you that needs to change and not the other person. That happens so often. So whether you're single or married, in the conflict, I think first of all we need to look inside of us. So with that in mind, we're going to get into it, okay? Now, here's that new list. New list. I went home last night and I thought, we talked about it a little bit, you know, what do we think really hit home? And I talked to several different people, both singles and marrieds and engaged couples, and last night, and just trying to get a feel, because in all honesty, we do not want to answer questions you're not asking. We really want to get to the heart of some things. And in 35 minutes, you can't cover it all. So we're just trying to kind of bring it up, look for it as a challenge for 2013. So let's go from there. And we've asked this couple over here, which, by the way, is a great couple. And they have a great marriage. They have two lovely children. And they've been part of this church for while they were singles, and then they got married, and then went from there. So,
that was the part that we scripted.
Oh, yeah.
That we were a great couple.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first of all, congratulations on 40 years. And thank you for living that in front of all of us as a church. It's a big deal. And these days, anybody that's living and married past 25 years, that's a real record. So thank you very much from all of us for doing that. So, yeah, you can applaud. It's quite an accomplishment to do. So I have the unique privilege of knowing you from before you were married even. And Cheryl was my Sunday school teacher in fifth grade, and I loved her. I thought she was the greatest thing that had ever happened. And then she starts dating this guy named George, and I wasn't too excited about it, but there we are. Yeah. It happened. We're excited about it. Tell us how you met each other.
I'm glad the Lord was more excited than you were.
He was excited. Tell us how you met each other and what that was like.
Well, yeah, we actually met in this church, if you didn't know that. It was back in, Cheryl came to this church in 67, I came in 71. So she was already active at the beginning days and years of this church. Then I came along in 1971 to rescue this single woman and sweep her off her feet and all that. Yeah, well, it didn't happen that way, but exactly. So we were singles. And I think this is a good place to start. Because how we met, and here's a word to the singles that are here today. Often what we see when, first of all, when you're single, you're looking for a mate. Right. You're looking for someone special. You're looking for that right one. And that's good. And you're praying about it. We watch this happen over and over. And fortunately, been involved in many of their lives. And what a pleasure it's been, a joy in the 40 years of our marriage. But we see, and I'm going to try to do this, and I can't move this arm too much. Okay, hey.
Aww. That works really well.
Well, everybody, aww. That was really good. So we see what happened is singles, that they have a relationship with the Lord, and sure, they have their eyes on the Lord, and they want the Lord's best in his will. But when they find one another, we see this happening. And you might think, well, what's wrong with that? Well, there's a lot wrong with that. Because what you do is that you begin to focus on one another. Preferably, you see the Lord. It's not like the Lord has gone anywhere. You kind of see him from the side of your eye and know he's there. But then you begin to work with this, and something is lost in that. Whereas this is what happened to us. We were so in love with Jesus at that particular time. We so wanted God in our life. I mean, first, we weren't, the highlight wasn't that we met each other, even. It was that we knew the Lord, and now we're meeting. So we kind of grew in our relationship like this. So it was more of going that way, and then it really worked. So I encourage you to be careful, because not only that, we've seen couples after they got married even, that their priorities were to each other, and priorities were kind of their own visions, their own plans. And it was like they were including the Lord, but it wasn't like the Lord was the all-encompassing, right?
The Lord must be the centrality of a marriage. Mm-hmm. Cannot be a sidelight, can't be a side dish on the table. The Lord must be what is central. And as we were praying about this, I was driving on, God speaks to me in my car. Yes.
Yeah, you know, the Lord, he is an amazing.
He speaks to me in my car.
Yeah, with all the junk that's in there. And
it's important stuff.
I don't know if he has any room in
your important car. Stuff. It's important stuff that's in there. Sitting at the corner of 64th and Ward. And I heard the Lord say this to me, and I was startled at first. He said, you, meaning us, you're using all the wrong tools first for marriage. And I thought, well, we talk about communication, you talk about finances. God said, that is not first. And when you put that first, you're in trouble. He said, the first tool for your marriage is the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't like to talk about the fear of the Lord. We want to dummy it down to respect. But I can respect people that I don't do anything about their opinion. But if I reverence and fear, I will cause all of my decisions to flow from what I believe would honor him. Mm-hmm. So if the fear of the Lord, if the Lord is central in your marriage, then you'll work really hard at communicating. You'll understand that God wants that in your life. You'll fix your finances in a godly way because you know that that's what God would want. If you focus everything on what I want, when it's the big I, and our culture is consumed with me. I saw an ad the other day about something. It says it's about you. It's about everything you want. It's me, me, me. And I thought, that just sizes it up. And when marriage becomes like that, you have a disaster waiting to happen.
A practical example that Cheryl just pointed out to me in the green room and everybody else that was in there. oh, by the way, I probably should add to the, you know, this humor of the Lord continues. This morning we're getting ready to come out, and of course she has to drive me. So I said, where are the keys? She can't find the keys to my car. So we came, she couldn't find her purse, she couldn't find my keys, and we couldn't leave the house this morning because she lost my keys.
We were about ready to call for help.
But that makes another point. So Cheryl said, but he really couldn't say anything to me because he knew we were going to be talking about it, and he has too much fear of the Lord. But I want you to listen to what I just said there. There is a certain respect and honor for God. You might say, well, isn't that hypocrisy that you... No, not really. I mean, it can turn into that if you just come up here to be a front and you're not working on something. But in all reality, the thought went through me. I really need to say what is right here. I really need to handle this situation in a godly situation. I really need to pull back and not raise, you know, all those things you think about, because I don't want to stand up here and bring disrespect to the Lord. That I didn't at least try or at least pray about God help me. Now, he knows my frame. He knows I'm going to make mistakes. You follow what I just said there? That's the respect. That's the fear of the Lord. That's honoring him. And I think that was kind of foremost.
That's very good. And you made it on time and...
Yeah, we did. And Cheryl got her coffee, and we were okay.
There we go.
Because somebody was quick in the spirit.
That's
and
right.
Went to Starbucks ahead
for
me.
Yeah, Dave Anderson.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Dave. So when we step into marriage, we step in with expectations based on what we've experienced growing up in our own homes, and we're expecting the husband to be a certain way, the wife to be a certain way, and to do certain things within marriage, and almost always... What we see over and over is that those expectations are not, they don't come to pass. How have you guys dealt with that over the last 40 years? Well, I mean, there are some expectations that should be there.
Yes, and I'd like to also add, Pastor George and Cheryl met in August and married in December. So that was a very short dating engagement period. Right. So surely...
We would not tell anybody else to do that.
We surely,
counsel against that.
The morning after your honeymoon, you wake up, you have these expectations. You have this picture of what your parents were before you or other couples. You hadn't had a lot of time to prepare
right.
for this thing.
You're probably bringing up one of the greatest challenges that we have in a marriage, and that is expectations that are not met. And then how do you handle those expectations? And it's not only the first year. What we're finding out, even 40 years down the road, there are still thoughts that you still expect something from your mate that probably is not going to come about.
Right.
How do you handle it? Well, my expectations, I come from a family where I was somewhat spoiled. And I'm the oldest of 6 children, but somewhat spoiled. I could see what's going on.
Well, someone's coming.
Gee whiz. All right. I'm going to be using back and forth. Now we'll have a battle on who gets the mic. But anyway, I had expectations. My mom was very good to me. And my sister, Mary Beth, who most of you know here, she was in the service last night. And when I'd be home, I'd just sit in that old red chair, and I'd ask for a sandwich, and my mom would make me a sandwich, you know, and I'd ask for a pillow behind my back. She'd put a pillow. No, really. My mom spoiled me. I expected that to happen a little bit. No, I really did. And I was kind of blown away that, you know, so inwardly, I wasn't, but inwardly I was wondering, why isn't she more like my mom? You know, more like my sister, or more like, you know, isn't she supposed to do these things? And that was a big battle. I think it's over.
We would go back east and visit his family, and when we would come back, he would call me by his sister's name. Yeah, but I'm not easily offended, so he would say, one time he said that to me, and I said, I'm not Beth, this is Cheryl, and there's the refrigerator, and we had a good laugh.
No, she had a good laugh. No, really. So those were expectations. So how do you handle the things like that? You just begin to realize that your wife is not your mother, you know, or not your sister, things like that. And other expectations that you have, I guess, as far as not knowing much about, what would be some of the other expectations?
Well,
what kind of expectations did you have from me? I never got.
Yeah, that's a good question.
One of the things that I think, though, is important, it doesn't really matter what your expectations were. George and I separately had learned that Jesus was more than enough. I didn't come into a marriage expecting my husband to be Jesus Christ. I did not. I knew Jesus. I loved him. And so there are places in my heart, in my life, that I never expected him to meet because Jesus was enough already there. And I think that becomes the important thing. I love the news and I love politics. He doesn't so much. He'll say to me after I've watched, you know, 16 rounds of Fox News, how much more of that are you going to look at? And he switches the channel. I mean, but, you know, those issues are not life issues.
That's why we have two TVs in the house.
But he forgets I'm watching one of them.
Yeah, I'll just go to the opposite one. You know what I found out that goes along with that, and I think this is good to bring up now. I found out that some of my expectations were based on my insecurities. And I think that we all have some insecurities in some ways or another. So your insecurities, the first thing you do is you blame it on someone else.
Right.
So I was blaming some of my insecurities on Cheryl, and we do this. Everybody does this. Or you blame it on your children, or you blame it on that individual at work. And really what I needed to work on was the insecurity. I wasn't secure enough in Christ in some areas that she was. You have to know our background a little bit. Cheryl was already on her way to serving the Lord, and she would have served the Lord faithfully with me or without. You might say, well, we wouldn't be where we're at today, but there's no doubt in my mind her relationship with the Lord was so strong. Well, that brought a lot of insecurities to me because I'm a new believer. So here I am supposed to be the head of the house.
Right.
I'm just talking about my insecurities. You relate to your own insecurity. I'm supposed to be the head of the house. I'm supposed to be a leader in the church. And Cheryl's a stronger teacher. Cheryl has more respect in the teaching area. I want to tell you, that was kind of sorting out. Who did I have to go to? The Lord. Your insecurities, you need to go to the Lord and settle that with the Lord. Don't blame other people. Got to look inside.
George, that brings up a good question. You know, a lot of our men deal with that same insecurity where in the home, often the wife is the strong spiritual one and can hear the Lord in a lot of different ways. And so how have you either overcome that security or found a comfort in that position of leading
good question.
Your wife and leading your home?
He asked me.
I'm going to answer it.
No, then you can back up on it. That's an excellent question. What was the question? No. How did I handle that? I had to realize, just like with everybody else, she had gifts that I don't have. Get over it. Just absolutely get over it. Cheryl, prophetic in a lot of ways. I'm not trying to measure up to her. I'm trying to measure up to what God has for me. What makes for the marriage is that she's going to have some things that I don't have. I'm going to have some things she doesn't have. is sorting that out and coming to that realization, hey, that's who God made her to be. Go with it. Mm-hmm. Make it work.
I think the major thing in marriage is trust and respect that that a man needs. And I think God, because he is so incredible, designs things in our lives to give us that opportunity as women to be anchored in the trust and respect of your husband.
Cheryl, that's a question I have for you. We all know Cheryl heads many ministries here at the church alongside with Pastor George. And so as the woman in the home, the wife, the mother, how have you been able to submit yourself to Pastor George, supporting him, encouraging him in the calling the Lord obviously has on his life, but your calling too, and how have you done that together? But how have you lived that out? And also, in addition to that, how would you encourage women in our church who have recently come to know the Lord, their husband doesn't know the Lord, and so they find themselves, in a sense, a spiritual leader in the home, trying to keep this marriage together? So all of this, how do we handle that as women?
Well, once I got over the biggest hurdle of our married life, and that was my first paycheck, because I had my own career. Oh, yeah. And my first paycheck, I was going to let him start to make the decisions, which I think...
Decisions on how the money was spent?
Absolutely. And I remember driving home. I've never told you this. I pulled over on Sims, and I just sat there, and I thought, oh, my. I didn't remember signing up for this part of it, but I'm either going to get over this. I'm either going to win this battle right now, or I'm going to be in big trouble. And I remember just saying to the Lord, this is what your word says, and I will honor your word.
Wow.
And so
I really didn't know this.
No, I never told you that.
I didn't know it was a problem with you.
But
just keep turning it over to me. All right.
But I think that God gives you those opportunities.
Yeah.
Pastor George and I walked through a very, very difficult time financially. We lost everything. Now, when I tell you we lost everything, I mean we lost everything. What was left was two bedroom sets and our underwear. I'm serious. Pastor George was in business before he became a pastor, and he was a builder, and the economy, it wasn't because his company or his two partners with him made bad decisions. The economy took a flip, and our company took a flip. And we lost everything. Prior to that, I'm just going to tell you this, not so that you think anything wonderful about us, but just so that you understand what I'm about to tell you. Prior to that, we owned a piece of property, and we sold it. We gave all of the proceeds to help build the building on the other side that Pastor George's company ultimately built. And then when everything went bad and we lost everything, we were living in a very small two-bedroom apartment with our three daughters that, you know, turning around was difficult. I said this to him. I said, you know, if we hadn't given all of it away, this was stupid of me, maybe we would have something. And I will never forget the moment. I'll never forget what George said. It was the greatest moment of our marriage. And when I think about it, it's still the greatest moment. He looked me right in the face and he said, Cheryl, it's the only thing we didn't lose. And he said, I wish that I could have seen it coming earlier. I would have given everything to the Lord. Because what we've given to the Lord, we did not lose. And great peace came over me at that moment. There was something about that answer. I mean, he was stellar through the whole thing. I certainly was not. But I just knew from that answer, this man, though I had known it before, I can trust him with my life and with life decisions. And however this goes, whether this ever turns for good or not, we're okay. And I know that might sound strange, but at that moment, it was the anchor of our marriage and really a new anchor of my soul, that I realized that we had started this journey with the Lord, and when things got tough, he wasn't going anywhere. We were going to stick it through. And during that whole time, he continued to tithe, though it was really stupid. It was like, really? We don't even have enough money to pay whatever, and we're tithing. But he did, because we agreed that it was right, and God came through.
Cheryl's leading us into an important area that I'm going to say to the men. Men, you have to take leadership in your house. Yeah. Spiritually. Not in a way where you're trying to get your wife just to do everything you want her to do. Although it'd be nice every once in a while, I know that. But but spiritually, what I mean by leadership is that you've got to get a hold of the Lord and take the leadership and make the decisions that are godly. You're not going to have a problem with submission. If you do the godly thing, I don't think submission becomes a problem.
Right.
I think there's a trust and respect in that leadership, and you get yourself a record. It takes a while to get a record that I know Cheryl trusts my decision. We don't always agree. I mean, Cheryl will go, that's the craziest thing you've ever thought of. And I'll listen to that, you know, because that's part of what I'm bouncing off her and others. But because of other decisions that I've led out to do, this is what I believe God wants us to do. It wasn't just based on, I want to try to get my way. I really felt that this was what God wants us to do. So we need to take leadership, man. And that doesn't mean the kind of, I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Cheryl, the other side of that, though, is that the wife has to respect her husband and come into a place where she's going to submit to those decisions that he's making, whether she feels they're the right decision or not. What do you say to the woman who doesn't have that for her husband? She's not being able to relax there.
You know, either the word of God is true or it's not. The Bible says, oh, it's very quiet in here.
Yeah.
The Bible says that women, wives are to submit to their husbands, and it doesn't say because he's godly, because he's wonderful, because he's lovely, because he treats you right. It doesn't say that. I wish it did. It doesn't. And either the word is true, and we will choose to submit and trust God with the results because God said it. God designed marriage for our good.
Yeah.
We've made a battle out of it. And a two-headed monster is really just that. Nothing can have two heads. It's ugly.
There's a theme here that we keep hitting, but we're not talking about. It's that idea of dying to self that has to happen in marriage. And how have you guys died to self? I mean, we're hearing it through some of the stories, but explain that, how you've come to that place of making that a part of your relationship.
As well as ministering to one another's needs. That is part of dying to ourselves, whether we feel like it or not, and you're trying the act of balance, which many of our families are struggling with. We all do. How do you balance the in-laws, the friends, the ministry, your children?
I was talking to a couple after service last night, and they were just sharing, and in the conversation what came out is that I think it's both our responsibilities, but I think I need to take lead in this. I need to build her up as much as I can and make her, help her to become everything in Christ that she needs to become. That is my responsibility. I want her to be where God wants her to be. So I need to take the position of building her up. And it's not always to do that. I mean, and make her look good in front of people. And there's a lot to that. I mean, I want to see the glory of God in her so that others can see it in her. So I have a big responsibility. I'm not saying that's a hard job to do with Cheryl, but it is a responsibility that we both have. The dying to self is a real key. It's giving up your rights to be right. One of the most difficult things we deal with is giving up the right to be right. Because you could be absolutely right, and you might have to give that up for the sake of the peace in the marriage, for the sake of moving forward. Isn't that what Jesus did? If you read Philippians chapter 2, what Jesus did in Philippians chapter 2, he gave up everything. He gave up his right to be right. Jesus wasn't wrong at all. Why did he give up his right to be right? He gave it up for the will of the Father. And for the will and the purpose of the Father so outweighed his own personal desires and will that he submitted to the Father and gave it up. So I have to give up my right to be right for the sake of the Father. And every time you do that, inside something's dying in you. You can even feel it sometimes. It's like, oh, this is the hardest thing. Doesn't anyone realize if I don't point this out to her, she'll keep doing it? No, really. That's what you feel.
Right.
And it's almost their time. Or when someone says something negative about you, hear that someone said something negative about you, our first response is, well, I'm going to show them, or I'm going to get to them. Listen, we need to be sensitive to the Lord. It might be the Lord just saying, just shut your mouth. One of the hardest times in our marriage was when something was happening to us. There was a personal attack against Cheryl and I and our ministry. And it was all-out battle. I mean, it was an all-out battle. And I knew something about the individual that if I would have just said one word, first of all, it would have disgraced them, and it would have made people see that we were right. And I'll never forget the Lord saying, I want you to totally shut up about it. You don't do anything about it. I will do something about it. 2 years I wrestled with that if I would have just said something, I would have shut the mouth of hundreds of people what they were saying, but the Lord was just saying, be quiet and let me do it. That was hard, but I could see what God was doing. And here's how God uses the marriage. He was refining in us, right, being conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. So the marriage institution is a place where God uses to make us what he wants us to be.
Right. The common concept, though, is that I need to be married. God wants me to be happy in my marriage. That if my marriage isn't making me happy, that this isn't really God's plan for my life. So how do you respond to that?
Well, I don't think God's that concerned about our happiness. I think what God is concerned about is that we live in the joy of the Lord. Happiness comes and goes. I'm happy when everybody's doing what I want them to do. That's about a microsecond a year. I'm happy when my team wins. I am really not
happy. Happy when the Broncos win.
Yeah, I shut the TV off when they're not. So happiness isn't the issue. What the issue is the joy of the Lord. And what God brings to us through obedience. God doesn't necessarily want us happy. He wants us obedient. Because in obedience, he brings joy to us. And joy is that lasting thing. Joy and contentment, that's the good stuff. Happiness, it's overrated.
We've got time for kind of one more
question.
Point. Yeah.
George, I'm going to shoot this question at you. The Bible, Paul encourages us as men to love our wives like Christ loves the church. And how have you done that? How do you see that being played out? And how have you done that? And maybe how are you going to do that in 2013?
Good. And another verse is found in Ephesians. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and that he gave himself. How did Christ love the church? Picture this, if you will. We were lost. Mankind was straying from God. We were without hope. There was sin that needed to be dealt with. And so God in heaven could have just kept putting out demands on our lives to do this and do that, but he didn't. He left his throne of glory, and he came down to our level and then lifted us up. In a husband and wife situation, real love, and boy, we don't understand God's unconditional love like we ought to, is that you don't expect that other person to come up to your level and agree with you and do everything you want. You reach down, and then through a process, you lift that other person up. And this can work both ways. A wife can do that. Can you imagine what kind of marriages would we have if both of us are taking the attitude, listen, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to do whatever I can to lift her up. I'm going to reach down and do everything I can to lift him up. And if both are working at that, whether it be a marriage or any other situation, I mean, love is going to prevail. Right. And to me, that's the greatest description of love. I wish we had time for some more, but here's how committed we are. And again, we just wanted to bring some things out to give just kind of a little hope and encouragement that God can do some great things. And honestly, you see us as Pastor George and Cheryl and leaders in the church and teachers, but you can't just see us as that. We were lost in sin. What we brought into our marriage was we brought sin in. And we had to keep allowing God to deal with the sin in our lives. That's what we bring into the marriage.
And that's what marriage is God dealing with
God is dealing with sin
in our lives.
So we don't come in. We did not come in this as perfect. We've dealt with a lot of situations. We've come to where we're at today. The last 2 years of our marriage have been the best 2 years. They really have been. I can't even point why. It's just like, we felt more comfortable around each other. You say, well, you've been living together for 40 years. We felt more comfortable. I felt more joy. I felt more comfortable in sharing things more openly rather than keeping them in for a long period of time. I don't know. We've had kind of, I believe, a breakthrough. So, and we had a good marriage. I believe you can have a breakthrough. I believe you can have a breakthrough in your own walk with the Lord this year. Why not? God can do the impossible, and you've got to allow him to do it, and you've got to believe God to be able to do that. So we're set to help you in 2013. So there are a couple of things that are going to come up here on the screen. They're also on the back of your notes that were handed to you. You can pick these up. But the first one has to deal with, there's a book that just recently come out called Real Marriage by Mark Driscoll and Grace Driscoll, husband and wife, pastors of church. And it's a good book. I read it. But, Mike, what's happening with
this? So we're going to have lots of small groups. We're encouraging people to step into one of these groups. It's going to last about 12 weeks long.
And next week we'll be signed up for this.
Right. So the next 2 weekends during Connect, Serve, and Grow, you can sign up and get into a group. And we'd love for you to participate that way.
There's Home Builders class.
Our Home Builders class meets every Sunday. And this is where the community of the church meets the needs of our couples, and they develop those relationships there.
Fireproof?
Fireproof is like a 12-week Bible study that is based on the movie Fireproof and just dives into some of those very key topics that we've been talking about tonight.
Singles.
For our singles, we have our Essentials for Engaged Couples. If you're planning on getting married and you want to find out how to do it right, this is the class to go into. Single and parenting, if you're a single parent, for whatever reason, this class is designed to help you be a stronger parent in that relationship with your children or your child. And then our Smart Step Families class, if you've gone through a divorce and you're now coming back together into another relationship, you're getting married again, you're bringing two families together, we want you to be able to do that in a smart way and learn some of the pitfalls that other people have fallen into, how to keep from falling into those and have a strong marriage and not be one of the statistics out there.
Okay, if we could all stand.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.